Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Midweek Motivation. This episode, we're going to begin to discuss the resource from Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God by Henry Blackaby, and now his son, Richard Blackaby, and his grandson, Mike Blackaby, are a part of the newest edition of it. And it's a 12-session Bible study, but we are going to take the 7 principles and talk about 1 or 2, we'll see how time goes, an episode, just to give you an overview. I wanted you to have as many of the resources of awareness about God's peace and knowing and doing the will of God at your disposal as a few of us women walked it out together in an 8 weeks between our fall and our spring Wednesday night gatherings. So we just want you to have access. We are prayerfully hoping that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you something that pulls you in to explore more for yourself. So we loved the 4-week Peace on Earth Advent meditations. And so now we're going to just offer you Experiencing God. I'm going to begin by reading you all 7 of the principles at once, but then I will break it down and we will go through them slowly. Number 1, and wait, before I start, just stop and ask yourself, as I read these, do you believe that, agree with that, have you heard that before? If it's something you're like, oh yeah, then when I walk through that principle with you with more resources, I'm sure you're going to be very comfortable with that. There's probably going to be a time in your life that you learned about that, explored it, or God proved Himself faithful to you out of it. But there might be a couple that when I read them, you're like, I don't know about that. Not that you don't believe it or agree with it, but you've just maybe never heard it said like that before. So to me, that's an opportunity for you to know which ones to be more on higher alert to. That might be new information or new learning for you. So here I go. Experiencing God. Principle number 1, God is always at work around you. Principle number 2, God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. Number 3, God invites you to become involved with Him in His work. Number 4, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. Number 5, God's invitation for you to work with Him may lead you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. Number 6, you must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what He is doing. And lastly, number 7, you come to know God by experience as you obey Him and He accomplishes His work through you. So let's begin with number 1. God is always at work around you. And here's just some thought-provoking questions to reflect on before we even begin. How is your relationship with God on a scale from 1 to 10? And you're the only one that knows that right answer. 1 to 10. How is your relationship with Him? Number 2. What can you do to improve that relationship? And number 3. Do you believe in God? Do you love God? Do you serve God? And how do you experience Him? Okay, now I'm going to read some things from the resource just so you have a few ideas. of what we were able to read from. John 10:10, Jesus said that he came so people, just like you, could experience abundant life. He didn't die on a cross so you could get by or hang in there or be okay. So stop right there and ask yourself, honestly, vulnerably, transparently, how are you? How are you? It's January of 2025, the beginning of a new year. How are you? Jesus did not die on a cross for your answer to be, well, I'm hanging in there, or, well, I'm okay, or, well, I'm getting by. God did not send his blameless, perfect, only begotten Son to this earth to die for our sins for you to be okay, getting by, or hanging on by a thread. He wants you to walk so closely with him that his joy overflows in your life. John 15:11. Are you seeing a little theme here? From the 2 weeks we talked about peace and the overflowing peace and joy to now, how these two resources just walked hand in hand. Now we want to stop and ask ourselves, are we overflowing with the joy that was the reason God sent his Son to save us? He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him so well that his peace guards your heart and your mind regardless of what troubles you day to day in life. That's from Philippians 4:7. Take a moment to pray. Before you proceed any further, pray. Ask God to open your spiritual understanding so you see clearly what he has for you, which is why I like to begin before I even open my Bible, praying, Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to me. So here are a few reflection questions. Are you certain that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Some refer to it as being born again or spiritually made alive. If you died today, would you be with God in heaven? Your answer is either yes or no. If your answer is maybe, that's a no. that's coming from me, Paulette, not from experiencing God. But only when the Holy Spirit is actively working in your life will you be able to understand what he is saying to you from his word. So if you cannot perceive of ever understanding or knowing that you have a real close personal relationship with God and that you understand how you experience him and he shows his truths to you, the first question Henry Blackaby is guiding us back to asking ourselves is, well, first and foremost, do you know him? You can't have a relationship with someone you know. For example, let's pretend you meet somebody. We're up here in Northwest Arkansas at the moment. So we meet somebody and they're like, hey, do you know so-and-so? And I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, sure you do. I'm like, no. Oh yeah, you've got to know him because he knows so-and-so and so-and-so knows so-and-so and you know so-and-so. And I'm like, yeah, I know them. And then I'm like, well, I've only been up here for like 3 years. Yeah. But you've got to know them because blah, 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 blah. Okay. They can talk all they want to talk. They can talk about how close they are to him. They can talk about how often they go and see him and that, oh, well, we go out to eat or, you know, we go to the Walton Arts Center together and don't you go to the Walton Arts Center and we go to church together. Haven't you seen him at church? And, you know, your husband disc golfs, right? Well, this guy disc golfs and hey, you like to go to the library. You might've seen him at the library. And I'm like, I don't know this person. I just don't know him. I'm hearing you. I'm hearing about all these fantastic things that you guys do together. I promise you, I don't know this guy. Okay. Now relate that whole thing that I just said about God. If you are ever around people like me, for example, that's very vocal about, and God did this, and the Holy Spirit revealed this, and I was reading in this, and this just leapt off the page, and I wrote it down. And you're like, this sounds so foreign to me. There's two opportunities. Either you have not had the availability to hear about the potential that you can have in growing a relationship with God, who's already pursuing one with you, but you know you have Him as your Lord and Savior, or you don't have Him as your Lord and Savior. That's where Henry Blackaby wants us to begin. You can't experience a relationship with someone that you do not know. But it's really easy. All you simply have to do is pray a prayer that you believe He is who He is, that you recognize you are a sinner, that you are going to confess to Him, I am a sinner, forgive me. And I ask you, Jesus, to save me, come into my heart and be my Lord and turn my life around. I give it to you. Just a simple prayer like that. Dear Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, guide me. Father God, lead me. Amen. I mean, it's that simple. Or seek someone out that can walk you through it one-on-one. If you know me, reach out to me. When can we get together? Let's do it. But that's the first step. That's the first step. Here's a second one. Stop and ask yourself, as a believer, now we've gone past question number two. Now we are saying we know that we know that we know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. If we died today, we would be with Him in heaven. So our answer was yes to number one. Has your Christian life been characterized by religious activity and rituals? That's option A. Or can it be characterized by a personal and ever-growing relationship with the person of Jesus Christ? That's B. And you and only you know that answer. And it might be some between both. And if I'm honest, I have to say that yes, I know that I know that I know that I asked Jesus Christ into my heart when I was a young child with my mom and dad present in my home. I followed in baptism many years later. It was 13 before I heard from a youth pastor that basically God asks us as believers. I never doubted that I was a believer, but as believers, He asks us to stand up for Him and be accountable and to be known as a Christ follower. And I realized, oh my goodness, when I was really little, I was literally scared of going backwards in the water and having the water rush literally over my eyes, nose, mouth. And I was younger than my two older sisters who had already been baptized. And I know my mom was like, you know what? We're not going to pressure her until God and the Holy Spirit reveals to her that this is a process you need to walk in. So I went on about my life. I knew I had asked Jesus Christ into my heart. There was no doubt there. But I was 13 before I realized, what? I guess I missed that somewhere along the way, or the Holy Spirit didn't need me to receive it until then. But I missed that idea of, what? You mean it's like I'm hiding under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. And I immediately went to my parents and said, I need to get baptized. I want to be recognized as a Christ follower. I want to stand up for Him. I don't want to hide. You know, I'm not trying to play the fence here. I am a Christian. And they were like, well, by all means, yes, let's go talk to the pastor and get baptized. So I don't know where you are in your life, but I then, since asking Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior, and then later following in believer's baptism, which all it is symbolizing that I proudly stand up for you. I want to be seen as a Christ follower. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit, and I want to be held accountable to what a Christ follower should do as an ambassador of you, Jesus. But then you go through life, and there are seasons where, yes, I think there were seasons in my life in the busy and the hurry that we talked about with the peace and how Satan, I think, entraps us, that I was going to church because it was Sunday and you went to church, and I was getting the kids all dressed and ready in the car, and we went because I wanted them in church. But you sometimes lose the focus of Monday through Saturday night, and it's just Sunday's the thing to do. We go to church. Wednesday, you might again go to church. And I might have been reading a little Devo in the morning, or I'm going to tell you, I have never been a listen to an app on YouVersion read to me. That's just not me. I want to hold it. I want to see it myself. But there were times, seasons in my life where I felt like I was just flipping the little daily thought of the day verse and going, okay, I'm doing this to be doing this. I also want you to give yourself permission that God is forgiving of those seasons. If we recognize it when we are so prompted to recognize that as like a dry season where we are being complacent and lukewarm, which the Bible speaks highly against, hot or cold, but not lukewarm. But it's just a time for us to feel that conviction and come to Him and say, oh, Father God, forgive me. I have just become ritualistic in the religion of you. I believe in you. I know you saved me, but I am almost taking it for granted. I'm letting the days go, and I'm worrying about the things that I need to check the boxes for, the immediacy, the temporary, and I'm forgetting the eternal, the long-lasting. And just ask Him for His forgiveness and get out of that and go. Just keep walking toward that pursuit and the seeking of Him, which this one-year reading Bible plan could become a ritualistic religious activity if your motivation is not such that is bringing you closer in relationship with Him. That is one of the reasons, I'm going to be honest, that I like to verse map and marinate like a marathon in His Word, because sometimes I had the opinion that when I was just scrolling through verses quickly, I was almost just letting it go in one ear and out the other, and I was being passé about it. But now, with my attention to doing it in the right motivation, I am keeping myself from just sprinting through it, as Maddie so eloquently referred to it as. So I want you to stop right here and think about those two things. Do you know that you know that you know that you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior? And number two, are you guarding yourself from just ritual religious activity, even if they're good activities, and you're making sure that you are pursuing with a correct motive a deepening and a growing personal relationship with Him, where I read His Word, I pray His Word, I journal about His Word, and I ask the Holy Spirit to reveal truths to me, because I as a human cannot find them myself. And here's the last question. In what areas of your Christian life are you currently struggling? Where are you currently struggling right now? And whatever that answer was, stop and take time in prayer. Give it to God. Ask His forgiveness if need be. Make it right with someone if the Holy Spirit brings to your mind about a broken relationship. Forgive someone you need to forgive. Forgive yourself if that's who you need to start with forgiving. Release whatever it is that you're anxious about. Seek Him the peace. And ask God for His direction. Ask God for His victory in the area that is presently causing you current struggle. Lay it down and surrender it and tell Him, I'm going to give you this. I'm done carrying it. I give it to you. And I claim and anticipate the victory that you're going to give me over this. Even if the situation doesn't change, allow him to change you in the situation. So we're going to stop there with this first principle of experiencing God. God is always at work around you. God is always at work around you. Thank you for joining me. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.